This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. Topic of today's podcast is Show Me the Research. Part one, researchers are not research. Now, I appreciate hearing from people online who disagree with me. It helps me evolve and expand my thinking. And it also invites me to revisit issues and to reify or revise my stance on things. And it helps me identify issues that need a bit o' explaining. The research is one of these. In a recent online conversation, a conversationalist was explaining that, quote, the research, unquote, said something with the assumption that the issue was settled and we should believe what she was saying was true. Now, when I asked for supporting research, the conversationalist responded by providing the name of a researcher. Daheen, go read Daheen, she said. Have you read Daheen? You need to read Daheen, 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 Daheen. And for the record, I've read Daheen, Stanislaus Daheen. He's a famous cognitive neuroscientist whose research focuses on the neural basis of reading. I'm using him here as an example of a famous person. Simply naming a researcher, even a famous researcher like Daheen, is not research. Regardless of how well-known that person might be or how extensively the person may be published, researchers are not research. Citing a book or article written by a famous person who has conducted research is not research. Their research is research. They are not research. Research is the process of asking a question and using a systematic method to collect data to answer the question. However, data is not the same as research. Research is not research unless or until it has been subjected to blind peer review. Again, researchers are not research. Individual research studies conducted by researchers are research. And again, when making a declarative statement about research, you have an obligation to cite the research, not the researcher. So let's take a look at original research, secondary research, and research-based theory. Original research. This is when researchers conduct a study, write up the results, and send it out for peer review. Here, the authors are the originators of information. And since it's impossible to study large populations, original research in the social sciences often takes a detailed look at a small population and attempts to generalize this data to larger populations. Any applications that are made are or should be based solely on the data collected. Original research doesn't prove things or debunk things. It supports things, and it strengthens or reifies the theory upon which it was based. And most importantly, research must always be evaluated because there can be methodological concerns or misinterpretations of the data. Secondary research and theoretical articles. Secondary research is when authors of a paper synthesize and apply the research that others have done. These are sometimes referred to as theoretical articles. In a theoretical article, writers set their propositions within the context of research-based theory. They take a broader look. And if you look at the citations for most academic books and journal articles, you will find these kinds of sources are often cited. And I would posit they are most often cited. So, the importance of theories. You can find research to support almost any silly thing. And this is why theories are important. Theories provide context for research. Research-based theories are built on many research studies conducted over time that have been replicated and confirmed by other studies. They've been shown to adequately explain a wide set of facts and to understand a range of phenomena. Theories are neither right nor wrong, rather they are robust or weak. Robust theories explain and help us understand a lot of things. Weak theories explain and help us understand a few things. Research snobbery. There's a natural tendency for those conducting original research to think that their kind of knowledge is the best kind of knowledge, that their kind of knowledge trumps all other kinds of knowledge in academic conversations. Well, this is kind of true. It's only true when one uses some variation of the term research says. However, knowledge from original and secondary research are both legitimate sources of knowledge in academic conversations. Let me explain. Original research takes a narrow and very focused look at a single phenomenon. Secondary research takes a much broader look at a wide range of phenomena. In other words, one describes the elephant, the first one, from a distance of 2 inches, while the other, the second one, describes an elephant from a distance where they can see the whole elephant interacting with other elephants in its environment. Both views are equally legitimate and important. One is no more important than the other. But again, anytime a person uses the word research followed by a verb, there must be a citation to a specific research study and not a person who's done research. Basic and applied research. Basic research is research conducted apart from the setting in which it's used or applied. And in the case of education, it would be research conducted outside a classroom or similar learning environment. And this would include research related to brain imaging, eye movement, miscue analysis, and priming study. This kind of research is essential in building theories and understanding how the brain creates meaning with print. However, this kind of research does not translate to actual classroom practice. Basic research may suggest certain practices, but applied research is necessary to study how practices work in a real-world environment. So let's take a look at applied research. Applied research is that which is conducted in the setting in which it's used. In this case, of course, it would be a classroom setting or real-world learning environments. In a classroom, the researcher studies human behavior. Does a certain teaching behavior or approach impact a learning behavior? Now remember, we never study learning directly. It's a cognitive thing. We can only study the effects of learning. Now, according to Tim Shanahan, the science of reading is a set of applied research studies used to show that one teaching behavior is effective in producing learning behaviors, or one teaching behavior is more effective than another teaching behavior. So in book one, when I talked about the science of reading, I said it seems to refer to a general consensus related to the strategies and practices that lead to improved reading outcomes. These strategies and practices have been determined to be effective using experimental or quasi-experimental research and conducted in authentic learning environments. Also, this research has established a causal link between strategies or practices and student outcomes, which in this case is reading achievement. So, reading research articles. You can't read research articles in the same way that you read an article in People magazine. It takes time and practice to be able to effectively read and critically evaluate research articles published in an academic journal. But it also helps to know what to look for and how to interpret what you see. But this doesn't mean that research articles are the only valid source of information, or that to be well-informed, you must only read research articles. I'm not suggesting that teachers, parents, policymakers, and administrators should only read research articles, and I'm not suggesting that academic books like the one I'm working on should only include citations of authentic, peer-reviewed, original research studies. That would lead to a very narrow and distorted view of the world, especially since the Education Science Reform Act of 2002 effectively banned qualitative research from the conversation. But if somebody makes the claim that research says something, one has an obligation to have read a research article at least once in their life. And if someone says, "Show me the research," that person should know what research is and how to read and interpret it. A recent online conversationalist tried to challenge a proposition made by saying, "Show me the research." And this is a common tactic. Here, the conversationalist knows that things should be supported by research, but doesn't quite understand how research works. The correct way to challenge that proposition would be with a question. Can that proposition be supported by research? Or is there research to support that proposition? Or is that a research-based proposition? Or do you have supporting evidence for that proposition? I can show you research, but I can't show you the research. The research doesn't exist. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.